It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than wrapping your kids' gifts in a Dilbert comic.
Oh.
You can join our chat room, Den10DenDavin. Comedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also, watch us live on the Facebook page, the Davin's Den Facebook page. Audio is better on DavinComedy.com, but maybe tonight we have that fixed. I don't know. Got it fixed in my studio here. We're trying to do something with Pip Studio. We'll see. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe will be here, in about 10 minutes or so. On the show, you won't be reading Dilbert comics anymore, unless you subscribe on his website, but only a handful of you maniacs will do that. Are white players winning NBA MVP awards because they are white? I thought that was a nice juxtaposition from the Dilbert story.
Yes.
So that worked out well for us. This is brought to you by Joe Curry. Joe really wanted to talk about this story, so we're talking about it. Congressman George Santos wants to make the AR-15 America's gun. And we put that on the poll, and we'll tell you what the people said about that. Comics in the news, and is Tom Brady coming to a comedy club near you? That was my blog this week. I got some opinions about that. The outstanding display spite that we did not get to last week, that is certainly worthy of your ears. And scamming scammer. So, fun stuff to do tonight. And when Joe gets here, Joe and I worked together this weekend, as we've been working together a bunch of past weekends, and there was a surprise guest that we'll tell you guys about, all sorts of funness that we'll get to briefly in just a little bit. But this past week, my wife was away. She went with her sisters to Florida to celebrate her mother's birthday. They try to do that every year. Didn't do it last year because my wife had a broken ankle, so the rest of them went down. So that left me home alone with my daughter. So not really alone, but it was the two of us. So on Saturday, after her music lesson, she has a violin lesson every day that she likes, I asked her what she wanted to do, gave her a bunch of options. A movie was one of those options. She wanted to see a movie. I let her choose the movie. Do you have any idea of the movies that are out there right now, Pip? Any idea?
Vaguely. I know that there's probably some superhero thing.
There is.
There's Avatar 2.
I don't know if that's still out there anymore. Wasp.
Okay.
Ant-Man and Wasp is the superhero movie.
But I'm also thinking that Cocaine Bear is out there.
Cocaine Bear is out there. My daughter picked Cocaine Bear.
How did I know?
And I will say this about Cocaine Bear. If you're going to see one movie this year about wildlife and substance abuse, Cocaine Bear is the movie for you.
Really?
Yes. If that is what you're jonesing for. Wildlife and substance abuse, that's the movie.
You know, it might have been the thing I didn't know I needed, but need desperately now.
No, I don't think you do need it. I don't think you need it at all. God-awful movie. God-awful.
Was it terrible?
Oh, it was like if Jaws was a bear on coke.
Oh, that's not great.
Well, but it's not as good as Jaws. Like, a lot of the deaths were gory, intentionally so, which were funny. I mean, it was funny, the deaths. So I guess they were going for that. And you'll be excited by this because I actually texted you this week and you did not get back to me. But we both watched The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
And I finished that up the past season this weekend. And Aunt Lydia, the actress who plays Aunt Lydia, was in Cocaine Bear. And
she was?
Spoiler alert, she dies, and it was entertaining.
Oh, you know, a lot of people have wanted to see that woman die. Not the actress, but...
No, I mean, most of the deaths were entertaining. I will say this. I don't think any of the presenters at the Oscars need to worry about getting knocked out by a bear.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, the whole premise. I did not realize that Cocaine Bear was a real thing, in the way they present it.
It's based allegedly on a true story, and the movie itself says Wikipedia. I did not look into it.
I did.
Oh, you did? So,
yes.
So the cocaine is still out there, as the movie alleges?
No. Supposedly, I didn't see the movie, obviously, but the real story is that there were some guys in, you know, a small plane like a Cessna or something, and the pilot was smuggling duffel bags full of coke,
yes.
And his companion didn't know what he was doing. I don't know what he thought they were doing, but he didn't know. And so they heard some radio chatter and could tell by something about, you know, if the radios are close enough to each other and you're in the middle, you could catch the radio transmission. And they knew it was DEA talking to each other, and what they were talking about was their plane. So the pilot went, oh, crap, and put parachutes on each of the duffel bags and started throwing them out the door, and then told the other guy that was in the plane with him, here, put this on. We're going to have to jump for it. And he's like, what? 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 Because he didn't know what they were doing. So they both jumped out, and apparently the other guy made it and was interrogated heavily, and they could tell he didn't know what was going on. But the pilot went splat in somebody's driveway. Now, at the same time, some guy was out in the woods and he was deer hunting, but the conditions were too dry and the leaves were too crackly, and he realized that the deer he had been following forever kept hearing him, and it was like he was giving up. So he just walked a little ways, and he came to a clearing. He looked into the clearing, and he saw a bear. And he went, oh, my God! And he whipped around behind a rock with his gun, and he sat there hoping that the bear hadn't caught it, you know, caught wind of him and was going to come get him. Because then he realized bears are very noisy, and he couldn't hear the bear, like, you know, snuffling and walking or anything. So he looked back around, and he realized the bear is sprawled out on top of something in this field, dead. And he had passed some kind of duffel bag before that, but he wasn't paying attention because he was trying to hunt. And he went, huh. And he went back and he found the duffel bag, and apparently he could tell that it was like it had once been full of coke. And the bear ate it all and just, like, ran out to the field and, boom, massive coronary. So that's the true tale of Cocaine Bear.
And from this, they decided to make a cocaine-addicted bear who is so hopped up on coke, he savagely kills everybody. Okay.
Apparently.
Wow. How does this movie get made? How does this get released into the movie theaters?
I don't know, because it's really bizarre.
You know, like, if I told you this plot, you'd go, you expect me to follow it up by from the makers of Sharknado.
Yeah. Absolutely. I thought it would be ridiculous farce.
Well, I mean, it was, I guess. I don't know. I think this might have been Ray Liotta's last movie.
Oh.
What a way to go.
I love Ray Liotta.
Well, I mean, my daughter liked the movie. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're really into bears, instead of Cocaine Bear, I'd say, you know, watch some old episodes of Gentle Ben. Read the Berenstain Bears. Maybe sit down with a pot of honey and partake in some Winnie the Pooh.
Go look up, trail cams of bears. See what they do.
They
don't know they're being watched.
Yeah, like I didn't know that the real story is the bear died of a heart attack, which makes more sense than this bear suddenly becoming an addict and killing everybody. I mean, yep. Look, the good thing it was short. It was only an hour and a half. So,
oh, that's tolerable.
Well,
of time to watch something like that.
I mean, if you have to watch something like that. You know, here's I don't really, since COVID, I don't really go to the movies anymore. It's probably been a year or so since I've been to the movies. And I'll tell you what, don't miss it. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
I got a flat screen TV. I can pause whatever I'm watching when I want to. For instance, my bladder could not make it through the whole movie. I had to miss a few minutes. Now, fortunately, the movie was Cocaine Bear, so I didn't think I'd be missing anything that important. But, you know, can't handle that. I prefer to watch a movie at home. Now, the exceptions are if a new Star Wars movie comes out, I will go to the movies for that, even though I watch plenty of the Star Wars TV shows at home. And the new Indiana Jones will be out soon. And I will watch that in the movies.
That would be good with the big, you know, surround sound that they have in theaters.
If I was going to see Avatar 2, and I saw the first Avatar, and it was fine. If I was going to see Avatar 2, and I really wanted to see it, I would see that in the movies. But for your average movie, And I think that might be my old age coming in. But they know it. They know it now. They're putting less chairs in. They're making them all reclinery. Even like the small theater in one of the local towns, it was bought. It was dark during COVID, and it came back as part of Flagship, which I believe is a company. I think before it was independently owned. Come back.
Oh, I hadn't heard of them.
You got the recliners now. You got the free refillable drinks. Now, for a small popcorn and a small drink, what do you think I paid?
Wow, you know, first of all, were they actually small or were they fast food small?
No, they were small.
Oh, okay.
I don't need I don't need enough fast food to know what that means, but okay.
No, well, I mean, if you go, I have recently become stunned by how big the drink portions are. If you say you want a medium is like, some places is like super jumbo.
Are you equally as stunned by the asses on the people that eat at these fast food restaurants?
No, I'm an American. I know how this goes.
I mean, really, we're a bunch of fat slobs. Of course, everything is bigger in these. But yet, when you buy like things in the supermarket, everything is smaller. It's the weirdest things.
Yes. Yes, that's so true, because, the mega size of fast food is alarming, and the portions that you get in the supermarket are quite small now.
And fast food isn't even cheap. Fast food isn't even cheap. You get yourself a Big Mac Whopper, whatever your burger of choice is, a medium fry, a medium soda, you're north of $10. It's not cheap anymore.
Yep. No, it's not.
You get yourself like a 6-inch sub at Subway, a drink and chips, like a tuna fish sub, it's like north of $10. Everything's going up now. So it's not even that. But if you go to say you go to Applebee's, say you order a steak, they'll give you 12 shrimp for a dollar.
I don't understand. I know. It's really.
I got to tell you, I don't eat
curvy world.
I don't eat shrimp, but if I'm looking for, I can have a Whopper with medium fries and soda for $10.50. We'll say. Or I can have a steak with a small salad, a vegetable, and a baked potato, and for an extra dollar, shrimp for $20. I'm going there. That is the way better purchase.
Way better. I can't eat shrimp now because of I became allergic as an adult, so I knew what they taste like, and I missed them. But if I could get 10 shrimp for a dollar?
I think it's 12 shrimp. It's 12 shrimp, I think.
Even if there's the little babies, that's amazing.
It's not like huge prawns. I think they're little fried shrimp. But still, I mean, if that's your thing.
Right. Well, I mean, I do have to say that sometimes they do have specials at fast food places. Like Wendy's has a biggie bag, and that's $5. And for, you know, a really hearty lunch, that's a good deal.
Yeah, what's that? That's like two of their regular burgers or their chicken sandwiches?
No.
One burger?
No, it's four nuggets, chicken nuggets.
All right, first of all, four nuggets is nothing. Now you're just pissing me off when you're coming at me with the four nuggets. That is ridiculous.
Well, it's in combination.
But you know what? A chicken nugget should not be an amused boosh. Let's fucking stop that shit right now.
Well, you could just go for it and go order your a whole on chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets? Chicken nuggets, by the way, also vastly overpriced. Wasn't always that way. Vastly overpriced now, the chicken nugget.
Yeah, yeah. But they give you some kind of little, I mean, it's a baby burger, but it's some kind of little, like, slider-sized burger. And you have choices. There's, three different kind of burger you can ask for. And then there's a small fries. And then there's four little nugs with sauce. And you get a small soft drink.
All right.
For $5.
I guess. I mean, all right.
Yeah, if you want to have fast food, that's a way to, keep it under price and also, keep yourself under control a bit.
By the way, pizza. I'm old enough to remember a slice at your average place.
Yeah.
$1.25, $1.50. I'm old.
Yeah.
Now, just a regular slice, nothing on it, easily $2.50, $3.
Yeah. See, I remember a slice being 50 cents.
Yeah, that's before. I mean, I don't remember that. But I used to go down to the Jersey Shore in Seaside Heights. I would make special trips, an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, because I was really good at math and figuring out the gas and the tolls. But I would get like a huge slice of pizza, like bigger than my face. Huge slice of pizza and a small soda for $1. Thank you. Yes, sir. Every time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, now, you know, I think that I like to go to the places that have the buy the slice specialty slices. And I like to play it up, sometimes, you know, you want the chicken with some kind of sauce on it. Sometimes.
Oh, yeah, but that's a $4.50, $5 slice.
They're very expensive.
I get that. I mean, I get that. If you're putting, a topping on it and something, I get that. The regular slice should not be $3. By the way, the biggest ripoff of slices, and I've never ordered this because I'm a real fucking American, the salad slice. Go fuck.
Dude.
Stop. Get out of here with
that. Salad slice.
Of course you do, because you're stupid. Of course you do.
No, it's delicious. delicious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what this pizza could use? With this delicious cheese and sauce and crust that has just a little bit of chew to it. You know what could use? Iceberg lettuce. That would make this better. If we could just throw some iceberg lettuce on it and maybe a raw onion. Mwah! This is way better. This is way better. You know, if you could just throw it all on top of it. You know what? Why don't you also throw some floss on top of the salad, too, so I can have a complete meal, so I can eat, so I feel like I'm eating healthy. Now, did you have a salad? Well, sort of. I had it on a slice of pizza, and then I flossed all at the same time, but I went for the lunch special, and it also included two squares of toilet paper, so they had me coming and going. It was a complete meal. Thank you, Mario's. Pizza, ugh.
For the lunch on the go.
No. Stop it. Salad slices are for people who like to lie to themselves. And apparently you are one of those people. Because you feel like, well, I didn't get the pepperoni, so I'm really eating healthy, right? This could have been much worse. I got my veggie for the day. Ugh.
No, it's not because of lies. I just really like it. They do it really good. A spring mix, nice tomatoes, and then a balsamic vinaigrette on top of a slice of pizza. So good.
Let me ask you a question. When you get a pie at home, do you and Mr. Helix look at each other? Hey, did anybody buy this spring mix? Because I can't eat this without the spring mix. Hun, do we have the spring mix in the house? If not, send it back. I will not eat this pizza without my spring mix. And a side of croutons, or as we call it, crust.
I do like having salad when I have pizza. But when we order a pizza, I generally get a big pizza that we'll have like slices for later, and I get like half pepperoni and maybe sausage or something for him, and then I'll eat plain and I'll put like garlic and oregano on it.
Yeah, that's a plain slice. That's normal. But
yeah, and then I'll salad on the side.
Fugazi. Another slice I tried once. The place is out of business, and justifiably so. After this slice, the chicken franchese slice, that was not good. That was a soggy mess. That was not good. But everything is going up. Anyway, to bring it back, so a small soda and a small popcorn, $6.
I was going to say the soda I would think would be like $3. The popcorn, a small popcorn being $3 is kind of disappointing because that's not a lot of popcorn.
It's not.
Generally.
It's not, but if you look at it in the grand scheme of movie theater food, it was a veritable bargain.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess if, you know, if that's what you're hankering for, it's just that for me that popcorn had better have salt on it.
Well, yeah, they put salt on it, and you can put your own butter on. I actually gave the girl behind the concessions counter a hard time because I saw like the popcorn. I didn't see this combo right away. She goes, "Oh, well, we could do the senior, which is the small soda and the small popcorn." I'm like, "Wait a minute, are you calling me a senior citizen? Do I need to get my AARP card?" She's like, no. I go, "Oh, so you just think I'm really bad in school. Is that what you think?"
Oh, man. So you just had to bust this poor girl's balls.
Yes.
So she's trying to accommodate you.
Yes, I did.
Great.
It's a stupid name. It's a stupid name.
Do you know, sorry, but I have to divert for 1 second. Do you know that I saw on Facebook a friend of both of ours, Brett Eidman?
Yes.
I saw him complaining that he had gone to an establishment and that they had given him a senior discount without him asking for it, and he was kind of peed. And do you know the day before, I went to the same place and they gave me a senior discount too?
What place is this?
I couldn't believe it.
What place is this?
Where did we both go? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, but you know what, Brett's...
Oh, I know. It was Rockland Bakery.
Oh, okay. I don't know that place, but Brett has, like, grayish hair, and he's bald. So,
yeah.
It's not ridiculous.
Yeah, but do I look like a senior?
What's the senior, 56?
No, I thought it was 65.
No, I don't think so. I think you start getting senior discounts way before then.
Really? Yeah. I'll have to ask them what they consider a senior, because if it's much earlier, I might be eligible, but I was just like, you think I'm 65 years old?
Do you know the amount of hair dye I put in my hair so people don't think I'm 65 years old?
So that they don't think how old I even am?
Exactly. I hear you. I'm trying to find how old for senior discount.
I was kind of mad. And it wasn't enough of a discount to assuage my cold, vicious heart.
Let's see. How old for senior discount? It's 55 and up. Yeah, that's fine. Absolutely.
That's how much it is?
Yeah, absolutely for you two.
Oh, I'm totally asking for it now.
Yeah, see? So?
Oh.
You got your panties all up in a bunch for nothing. And especially Brett. Brett looks older than you.
Well, only because he can't dye his hair, or he doesn't dye his hair.
Well, first of all, he could. Second of all, he should, because there's not as much of it, so it'll cost him even less.
He can use half the pack.
No, but Brett definitely. I mean, why not 55? What, you think you look 22?
Oh, hell no. No, but I didn't think I looked 65.
But you don't. But they weren't giving you the 65 discount. They were giving you the 55 discount. And what, you're
and
not,
that's fine.
You're not off from that. You're not far off from that, right?
I'm older than 55.
All right, then what are you bitching about?
I thought it was... they were aging me extra bunch of years.
Well, you should have been getting this discount sooner.
Yeah, I know. I should be getting it every time, motherfuckers.
Exactly. So, look at that. You learned something.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe's
all right. I feel better now.
Hell, Joe's Zoom name today is Ping Chow Hai, and in lieu of that, I will tell you a story that is mortifying, and then we will move on. So,
my God.
I got a news brief today. A Chinese buffet in New York City was busted for serving dog again.
That's rough. Again?
I heard you, Joe. Well, that will be ignored. Yes, again.
Hey, we have no sound.
Yes, we do. We have sound.
Someone out on Facebook, we don't.
I have no idea why. I've changed nothing.
Yeah, Gail mentioned it, and then I tested it before I came on.
Oh.
Oh, well. Well, tell them to go to davincomedy.com. I don't know. I have no idea why. I have it set up the way I have it set up last week. The only difference is Pip plugged in a microphone, which she can unplug if she wants to.
I'm hearing a terrible echo.
I don't hear. Joe, talk.
Let me unplug.
I'm hearing an echo now, yeah.
Yeah. Since Joe came on, I was hearing.
Well, Joe probably has to turn down his speaker. We've had that before on his phone.
Oh, hold on. My phone. My computer turned the sound on. Okay.
All right. Maybe.
I had it off.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right.
Maybe that'll rectify it.
Hopefully.
So, all right. I also don't hear the echo anymore.
No.
So, but yeah, apparently dogs were disappearing in this neighborhood. Like dogs, there'd be like posters like all over the place of these missing dogs. And they found the dogs. Those dogs won't be wagging tails no more.
What neighborhood is this?
Chinatown in New York.
Oh God! Oh my God!
So apparently, this guy got like busted in like 16 and 18, or at least one of those years. So he changed the name of the restaurant, but the ownership was the same, and they had their sneaking suspicions. See, this is why people go, you know, stereotypes are wrong. Are they though? Are they? They're kind of based on a little bit of truth.
No,
they're not wrong. They do have a dog eating festival in China. Not every Chinese person eats them, but it's done.
I did a joke, and we'll get to this very shortly. Very innocent. I did a joke on Saturday night. I made some type of stereotypical comment, and the only one who laughed was Joe. And I said, yeah, Joe likes that. I go, he likes when I do awful things like that. That's why we're still friends, because I don't always do stuff like that. But he knows once in a while I'll say something awful. And it was stereotypical. I don't recall what it was, but there was no laughter from the silence from the audience. But Joe was howling in the corner. So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, stereotypes, you know, you shouldn't generalize. You shouldn't paint everybody with the brush of a stereotype. But to go, how dare you call Irish people drunk? Well, a lot of them are. What do you want me to tell you?
By the restaurant, King no here, no king.
King. I'll have number 13, the king no here.
King no here. No, terrible.
No, yeah, especially if you're the owner of King.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just dying picturing the missing dog posters around this restaurant. Oh, my God.
Here, I have a worse.
So horrible.
The menu on the back.
Oh,
is there a spot on this menu? And a lassie, too. Anyway. Okay.
Oh, God.
You want to hear even a worse story than I?
Sure.
I get these news blurbs on the phone. So this hunter is in trouble because he saw these two coyotes and he shot them and he skinned them and he decapitated them. Only thing was, they weren't coyotes. They were somebody's pet German shepherds.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
apparently,
Jesus.
Apparently hunting these
glasses. Yeah, I mean, seriously, like, if you can't tell the difference between a German shepherd and a coyote, you can't hunt. You should not be allowed. And these poor people, heartbroken. I don't think they found the heads yet, by the way. And here's the weird thing. The guy's like, oh, I didn't know I made a mistake. Really? After you killed them, when you went to skin them, you still don't know? How about we skin you, stupid?
And let me tell you something. We used to go to Anthony's dad's ranch out in California, and you would go dove hunting. But I didn't want to go dove hunting. I want to go coyote hunting. The coyotes were a problem out there. And I've seen a couple. It doesn't look like anybody's dog or pet dog. They are the scroungiest looking freaking animal you'd ever want.
And I'll tell you another thing, Joe. You know how you know there's a coyote? It's pretty easy to tell. There's usually a thought bubble with a light bulb over their head. I mean, that's the first clue.
<They're genius>.
Yeah.
Super genius.
Exactly. I mean, he thought they were coyotes. Were they chasing the roadrunner, stupid?
He has an Acme bag next to him.
What?
I'm a super genius where you could barely pass the entrance exams to kindergarten.
Yeah. Yes.
Like there was any.
Yeah, that's true, too. But can you imagine the balls on this guy? Yeah, you know, I couldn't tell as I was skinning them and decapitating them.
God.
And they were looking for their pet dogs for weeks.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And you know what they said when the neighbor knocked on the door? King no here.
King no here. Oh, God. It's just so horrific that somebody's that stupid.
Yeah. I think we got to be a little bit more discriminate with these hunting permits and licenses.
It's
the same thing too. I thought she was a deer wearing an orange coat. You thought the deer was wearing an orange coat? Did you think the deer was chilly? What's wrong with you, stupid?
Thought the deer was cold and fashionable.
It was fashion week.
No, but every so often you'll hear these stories, and what happens is, like, we have coyotes around here. And you're not supposed to hunt coyotes around here because a lot of times people will go illegally on other people's property to hunt them, which you're not allowed to do because you might shoot somebody or something that you're not. They got to stop. Listen, I'm not a hunter. I'm not against hunting. But like anything else, you should at least have at least a minimum level of competence. Is that too much?
You would think. Jesus.
So the Chinese restaurant guy is facing up to 95 years in jail for this.
Wow.
No, Bow Wow. But Bow Wow, Chuck. Bow.
Bow Wow? 90 years.
95. Now, yeah, because this wasn't the first time, and I guess they just found, like, so many dogs in this guy's freezer, and he's serving it to people.
Right, but I would have him serve time in the kennel.
But, you know, let's be honest. You could do that with Chinese food. You could do that with Indian food. Why? Because there's so many sauces on these foods that a lot of times you don't know what you're eating. It tastes good, but you don't know what you're eating.
Yeah,
that's scary about a lot of places is you don't know. I mean, I don't love the idea of eating goat.
I've eaten goat. I've eaten goat. But now,
I'm sure that there's a lot of cuisine that uses goat.
Indian.
I would rather you tell me.
They call it like goat curry. They'll make goat curry. Goat kind of tastes goat kind of tastes like lamb. But the thing about goats is they are very sweet animals, apparently.
Yeah.
As are chickens. Believe it or not, chickens make excellent pets and love to live in a bucket. But
my nephew and his girlfriend, you know, at his farm has all sorts of chickens. They're very friendly too. They come up to you and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and you pet them and you ask them whose feathers there are. You know, so yeah, but I do like them. Yeah.
Well, they better get the right. They better get the right answer, otherwise there'll be dinner. So,
I know.
It is kind of amazing.
It is
kind of amazing what we decide is acceptable to eat in any given culture and society, and like something else is gross. Eating a dog is gross. Eating a lamb is perfectly acceptable. Why? It makes no sense.
Just the way society's norms are what you can eat.
And it varies from society to society. Obviously, in India, you're not going to eat cow. Obviously, you know, most places in Israel, you're not going to eat pork. It's just, you know, or India either for that matter. It's just very interesting. Like, I understand eating a lobster because it's an ugly animal. I can understand that. Like
But I feel bad for them when you see them in the tank on lobster death row. You know?
Yes,
Joe. That's not lobster death. Joe, that's not lobster death row. That's the lobster green room. They're all going over their sets.
Let me tell you something. Sometimes I think the lobster has a better fate.
Sometimes the lobster has a better set.
Yes, sometimes they do.
When the lobster sees the hand come into the lobster tank to take, he's like, oh, now it's my time to hit the stage. Give me a 10-minute light. And the guy with the arms like, you won't be here for 10 minutes.
There was a story Anthony was telling on his show one day, and he was talking about the digestive system and the colon, and there is a spot where, like, your fecal matter stays until it's ready to go down the colon. That's why you suddenly have to go to the bathroom. So Anthony goes, yeah, it's like a green room for your. And I go, yeah, you see the MC come in. What do you want me to tell everybody? Tell him he's a piece of shit. You see him in the toilet. You know.
Terrible.
Plays assholes all over the East Coast.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. There's, there is a really strange line that a lot of people will draw about what they are willing to eat, what they're not willing to eat. And it's, I mean, some of it is personal and some of it is definitely cultural. I mean, I don't think that I could bring myself to eat one of those big juicy maggots that I see them eating on the Survivor shows. But if I was starving to death, might be tasty.
Listen,
not for nothing. I know it was 10 years ago, but do you see the chow you used to offer me if I failed the fat horse challenge?
Yes.
Yeah, but that was all food.
I would have welcomed the dog on some night.
With the exception of brine shrimp, which was for my fish, everything else was for human beings.
Yeah, but
just not in the quantities or the portions that I had.
Well, you should have been a good horsey. All right. Joe often asks me, why are you wasting your time with Fallon? Why don't you submit to Dry Bar? Well, Joe, I got submitted to Dry Bar. I didn't get that either.
Oh, crap. Really?
And it's funny. And Eddie Brill, who's the one who I've been working on, you know, former booker of Letterman, he was stunned by that. He's like, are you insane? He's like, you got a story to tell? I'm like, dude, I don't know. Now, the interesting thing about Dry Bar, I guess if you're a comedy fan, you might know what it is. They're shot very well. It's like, it looks very professional, multi-camera shoot. But they're a lot, I mean, they have some good stuff on there, but they're giving like a lot of MCs and features Dry Bar specials too. So there's no rhyme or, like, I'll see somebody every so often, a friend will go, I got the Dry Bar special. And they're like hosting or featuring on a show I'm booking for whatever the money is. It's like, I guess that didn't pay off the way we hoped for you.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting about this business is I can think of two instances. It happens to everybody if you're around long enough. One was at a Knights of Columbus in Jersey, where the feature went up before me and died, did not do very well. And another one was in South Carolina, a club for a week, and not only did my feature not do very well, he was making people angry and not doing well. And both them went on to much more successful things than me shortly thereafter. So I don't know what to tell you. I can't figure out this business.
Well, I was at rehearsal last night, and I was talking to my lead singer, and he's going, I see these people on these comedy specials, they're not good, blah, blah, blah. I go, what's that all about? I go, you think the music business isn't fair? I go, you know how many times I'm sitting at home and I see people at the club, and I'm like, I'm sitting at home and they're getting a gig? Are you kidding? And it's not sour grapes. I mean, if you're really good, I'm like, yeah, well, maybe I got to work a little harder. But, you know, it's been a lot more now where you see a lot of people that don't even deserve to be in the club that are getting prime stuff. It's the way comedy's getting to be now.
Well, I mean, I always say, and Eddie agree with this, comedy is not like sports. Or entertainment is. Actually, the entertainment industry is not like sports. In sports, if you're good, you're going to play. You're going to get your shot if you have talent. In our line of work, talent has very little to do with it. A lot of it's luck, who you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, Joe, we went for the Dry Bar, and I didn't get that either. It's just very funny because you see all these people that are opening for you, and they're struggling, and you're doing these shows, and you're knocking it out of the park. You don't get a fucking sniff. You know, yeah, I'll get another Elks Club out of it, which is nice. Don't get me wrong. I love performing at the Elks Club, but it's not some of these more prestigious festivals or TV shows. And another thing, I've been on this bandwagon for a little while now. The comics have to stop with, and if you're friends with comics on social media, you will see this. I'm shooting my special. No, you're not. It's not a special. You're filming it. Nobody asked you to do this. Nobody's paying for you to do this. You're going to put this on YouTube for free. Back in my day, which is a lot of their day too, it's called, I'm recording my set tonight. That's what it is.
Absolutely. It's like, all this hypity hype. It's really what you have to do, but it's also incredibly obnoxious.
But no, but I mean, do people really believe it's a special when it's the back room of a restaurant? Or it's like a club where nobody knows who you are, and you have to beg people to come out for free, and then you put it on Amazon Prime, and you pay $15,000 to get this thing shot, and the only way you make any money back is if somebody sees it on Amazon Prime, but nobody sees it because they're not promoting it. So they actually have, you have to be a friend or one of your handful of fans that were looking at it. But if you had that many fans, you wouldn't have to say, I'm shooting my special. Your management would put it out there that you're shooting a special. Joe, this week.
Technically, it is a special. It's a special night that and I'm not being an asshole. It's a special night that you're shooting.
It's not special. It's not. No, it's recording your set. It's recording your set. Nothing is going to happen with this. Nobody's going viral on YouTube if they don't know you.
Well, but if you want to get, if you want to record it and you want to, you post it and you do, And look, if you're just setting your camera up, like this weekend, I think I'm going to, I might tape. But here's my idea. I bring in my iPad, and I'm, you know, and I'm going to put it in a spot where I can tape it, and hopefully I can get clips out of it. So, you know, I am not telling anybody, you know, I'm going to be a fat cat doing my special. I'm not. I'm going to be, you know,
right.
I update my clips. So, yeah.
That's what most of these people are doing. And it's fine. I'm all for making a good tape to get yourself work. But let's not call it a special. And I'm releasing it on this date or that date. Dude, you're putting it on YouTube. You're putting a social media blurb. If things go well, you get 56 views. You know?
Do you notice, too, that, like, if a comic, you know, as a comic, you go out and you get your headshots. I mean, we've got them. We actually did them at the house. You know, it was a great job. I know Davin's still using his. I'm still using mine. They're great. But what I'm saying is this, is there are so many comics now that they don't even have, you know, have a headshot. You get a picture of them in front of a banner or something like that. You know, I think, Dav, do you think the day of the headshot, at least for comedy, is gone?
What, with the formal sitting like we did?
Yeah, like the ones that we have.
Yeah.
Go to the club, get slapped on the marquee, yeah.
It's not really necessary anymore because so many people have a good camera. You could just do it yourself, have somebody do it for you. I use the ones that we sat for, and I also use, when I was a Catch a Rising Star, I think it was from 2016, Mike Tomasino, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He used to be the manager there. Unfortunately, he passed away. But he would take, like, pictures of the comics and everything. Beautiful pictures. And if you look, depending on, sometimes I send this one of me, a Catch a Rising Star, and I'll be like, I'm wearing like a vest and sleeves and a tie, and I got my hands kind of going like this.
Yeah, that's a good shot. You used
Thank
a
you.
Lot. It's a good shot.
Yeah, that and that wasn't us sitting.
Yeah, it's a good shot. It has the Catch banner behind it. Yeah, it's a good shot to use.
Yeah, so I think it's unnecessary to do what we did. I don't think it's necessary anymore.
I guess now. But do you ever go to like a club and you see your headshot and you don't ever recall of that photo or where it was taken? It was one of me that I go, where was this from? I don't even recall. You know, usually you get a guy, oh yeah, that one I did that one night 4 years ago. There was one that put I go, I don't wear that.
Now, you know who does that? You know, there's two places that do that. Catch a Rising Star sometimes does that, where they'll take like a random picture of you. And Comedy Works in Bristol, Kaplan will do that. Well, throw like a random picture of you that's not something you sent or that's not easily found on the internet.
What's wrong with it?
I don't like that.
No, I don't like it either. I don't like it either.
Well, that's why, like, you tell the new guys, you know, if you're doing a headshot or anything you post online of your picture, make sure it looks damn good because – you don't know how many times you pull in and you look at a marquee and you're like, they use that. So, they're relatively good, you know?
You know what's fun? When they pull up my original headshot, the black and white one from when I was 25 years old, he don't look like that no more. I'm looking at that headshot right now. It's on one of the posters. It doesn't say the year, but it's on one of the posters. I was a fucking handsome son of a bitch. Then I look at the other ones. Go, all right, not so bad. Now I look at Nagel. What the fuck happened? It's a progression of WTF. That's what it really is. The next one will just be a tombstone.
If you go on Facebook and you see some of these shows that are being put together, I mean, there are a couple out there. I'm not naming names, but I look and I go, I want my money back just looking at the ads.
Yeah, this terrible shows. But there's always been terrible shows. I put together shows when we were starting that a veteran would look at and go, that's god awful. The difference was I was giving people 15, 20 minutes a spot. But now you see, and there was five of us on the show. Now if you see five comics on the show, you think what I didn't know at the time, but I know now. Go, all right, that's all new comics.
Yeah, you know, but if you see, you know, and if I look at it, I go, oh, my money back. But that's just a certain few. But if I see a one where this guy, one guy books all these shows, he'll have like a seasoned act closed, but he has all these, like at least 5 to 7 other acts that have maybe been doing comedy 2 years or under. But I don't damn it, because basically they're getting time. I know what he's doing. He has the one major act, and he fills it with all these other acts that got 10 minutes. That's that's a show. I can't say anything bad about that. You know, you go, well, you're only doing 10 miles. That's all I got. You know.
No, there are shows where they'll have an MC, a feature, and a headliner, and I'm saying all I see is three guest spots at best. I don't want any of them hitting my stage. But you know what?
Yeah.
I pride myself on putting together a superior show, which brings us to Friday night. So Friday night, Joe and I were at our former sponsor. I have not been there since 2017. You know, we had COVID in between there, but he didn't want to do any shows in that time, and we were able to get there. Francesco's in Woodland Park. Tremendous food. I walk into the place. I beat Joe to my venue. I don't beat Bob Gonza, but I beat Joe to the venue. I look in, and who's there? Pip Helix. Pip Helix is there.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to surprise the boys.
It was a very lovely surprise. It was good to see you. As Joe noted, it was the first time we've all been in the same place since before COVID.
I know. Yeah, I was like,
I want to take that picture because it was so good to see. I mean, we've been doing this, Jesus Christ, over what, 3 years? It's almost 3 years now. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's three. It's
April. 3 years.
No. We're 2 weeks short of 3 years. It was March of 2020.
Right. Yeah.
It was so good. You know, it was really so good to see us all together.
Yeah, it was amazing. I saw that the lineup, and then Bobby Gonza was going to be doing the, what do you call it?
Hosting.
The arms?
Hosting. Yeah, well, I mean that. But, I was like, oh, my God, it's my co-host and Bobby, who I know. And I was like, it's a natural. So I asked my girlfriends, do you think you'd want to go? And they were like, yeah, it sounds like a good night out. So that was really, really fun.
I said to Joe before the show started, I go, we cannot suck tonight. Because if we suck tonight, we are never going to hear about it. And I don't think there's ever been a show where we were both in the barrel simultaneously.
It was also nice. Johnny Race was there.
That was great to see Johnny Rock and Roll Race. That was great.
Yeah.
And he was also there with Jen. You know, Jen who passed away, Jen's father.
Mm-hmm.
And the father had a rough year. He lost Jen last April, and then he lost his wife, I believe, in November.
Oh, and wow!
I just felt awful for this, and Johnny too. I mean, it just. Jen's passing, I can imagine what they're going through because I still am astonished that she's gone. I could speak for all the other bands and friends in Jersey, you know, that she played and everything. We're still dealing with this. So, you know, trying to bring a little laughter into their lives, it made me feel, you know, made me feel good. And also, it was there, you know, and watching Johnny sitting there with her dad, I'm looking to see if Jen is there. She's not there. It's hitting me again. Almost a year later,
yeah.
Jen is gone. You know, so so it was good to see him. I hadn't seen him in a while, or at least in a situation, you know, outside, you know, the wake.
We had that table who we wanted to cheer up. Obviously, we wanted everybody to have a good time. There was also a table of 15 where before the show started, the owner told me, "Listen, you know, I don't really talk to them. They got terrible news." I think a young person in their family was diagnosed with, like, leukemia. I didn't tell that to Joe and Bobby, but I just said, you know, they got some bad news. And I'm like, all right, we got to try to bring a little laughter, a little levity into this bitch. And we did. Although I haven't seen this in a while. It's been a long time since I've seen Joe Curry angry on stage besides at his wife, ex-wife. Joe was pissed off. And I understand why. There was a table of Italians stage left that were a little lubricated, and they would not hush up at that point. And Joe was in no mood to deal with that. And we Pip go after the show. Go, yeah, you look bad. Did I? Yes, you did. You look
you did.
Absolutely. You know what? Maybe it was. I had a bad day. You know, it shouldn't translate into the show. But I didn't feel. I wasn't thrilled, but I didn't feel I presented it that way. I could be wrong.
Yes, you did.
Oh yeah.
Like to the point where I'm like, oh, shit, I hate this. I might have to talk to the table. Yes, you did.
And the thing about it is you're trying to goof on him. I've only been on stage 3 minutes. So I'm trying to goof on him and stuff, and it's not really good because there's no character expansion. Usually character expansion when you're on stage, by the time you get it 5 minutes, they kind of get you deal. And they don't really know me yet. So it was rough going, but they did finally shut up.
They did. Well, Joe, I mean, the show we did together a couple weeks ago, 5 minutes, I didn't get 5 seconds. I hit the stage and that drunken woman, and I've been putting the clips up, and I'll put more up. The Will Talk woman starts shouting. I'm not – I have character expansion. I haven't even put down my condoms and T-shirts yet to settle in. I got to deal with this nonsense.
Oh, yeah. That's what you get. That's what you get sometimes.
So I was happy with my set. I tried some new stuff. Some new stuff worked. I did the drag queen thing, which I've never done before, and it just fucking laid there. And I went with it a while, and I saw some people nodding in the back, like they were going with it. But you know, a rousing round of agreement doesn't always translate.
No, I
believe, you know what, obviously it's the first time out of the box, might not have been the right room for it, but it'll work, I think. Could have been the delivery, I probably rushed it some, I probably didn't set it up properly, because I still think the point is there, like when we got to, I think.
Are you doing a joke this weekend?
Yeah, I probably will.
All right.
And it might not work this weekend.
Up there and, you know, working to set up in a presentation and stuff like that. I mean, it's the conviction that you have, and sometimes the preamble you have to do to make it go.
Well, the funny thing is, I was talking to the guy who books the show, and he's like, club's not doing great. You have to be a special act of Republicans. I go, Republicans? Yeah, you got to be a Republican to draw that. Like, what are they looking for? Voter IDs? is that on the website now? See them on Comedy Central and CPAC. What are we doing?
I know. It's like, that's really the criteria whether you get booked or not?
So Joe will have a good weekend. I've been there before. It's fine. It's a good club, but it might not be the best place to do the drag queen thing. But I don't give a shit. Here's why I don't give a shit. Because if the joke lays there, I have enough moves to get in and out of it. It's not a big deal. It'll be.
Oh, yeah.
But I still think it's fun. I still think it's funny. It's like we need to protect the children from drag queens. And I just think about all the shit that I'm worried about. About my kid's education and her going to school, like drag queens doesn't make the top 20. and the point is true. You never hear about a drag queen storming the school. And I still stand by, you can't storm a school if you're in 12-inch heels and a bustier. I don't care how sassy you are.
I don't want to get in the argument. Just as an overview, and we're not going to argue because I mean, Jesus Christ, that took forever last week. But I think my opinion is I think it's a concern of a lot of people, and I think that if you mention it, you know, and if you want to do the joke, you got to try to get them on.
Listen, whether it's a concern or not, that's fine. But the point still stands, even if you are concerned about drag queens, when you look at all the other things to be concerned about, school shootings, bullying, predator teachers, are the kids getting a good education? What are they learning? When you go down all the list of things, and God knows School of Fools is the segment that keeps on giving for this show. When you go down all the list of things that you should have, that you could be worried about your student encountering in a school, a guy in drag is just way down on the list. It's funny. It's a funny thing.
Well, try to set up like, everything we got to worry about, a guy in a boa reading Three Blind Mice is a thing.
That's good. The three blind mice. That's good.
Because you pull a lesser pain. Because even if I don't want my kid, that is funny.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah.
But still, you got to phrase it. You got to phrase it.
Joe, it was the first time. It was
of it.
It was the first time out of the box. I'll get it. But I still contend that the point still stands, and this is a ridiculous thing out of all the things to worry about. It just is.
You know the deal. It's trial and error. You know how many times I run to Alibi? If I have time, I might go tomorrow night. Just trying to work a different version of something I'm trying to work a version of, you know? Let me try it this way tonight, you know, before I bring it out, you know, bring it out to the weekend.
The point that I did get a kind of a chuckles on, and by the way, Pip, who's usually a friend for laughter, not on this particular night. But anyway, the thing that did...
That didn't really come out right. I don't remember it well enough to be able to critique what it was.
No, it wasn't a matter of critiquing. You didn't laugh, which is fine. Just usually you laugh at all sorts of horrible shit. And this this shit apparently was so horrible, you wouldn't laugh at it. That's how well this particular piece of material went over, where I did not even get a laugh out of Pip. That's how badly it went. But it's okay. I got a laugh on the next thing. It's fine. I don't care.
You know, it's weird with the bit I do about the questionnaire, you know, and it does all right. You know, it does all right. Sometimes at the end, I don't get the reaction I usually want. But, you know, I'm like, maybe I got to change my idea. I did it at Dino's on Saturday night, got an applause break. You know, I don't know. I got to listen back to the tape to see if I delivered it differently. So it depends on the night. You ever notice there's some nights that the prime stuff they don't laugh at, but the filler shit. They're cracking up where you got to pause for a second.
Yeah, once in a while. Those are
my reason is fucking business.
Those are very rare nights. But once in a while. Like, I bailed on the bit eventually. Like, I didn't get to the end. And the end, I think, could be an applause break or a big laugh anyway. Because, like I said, once in a while, they do catch these school shooters. Once in a while, they do catch them alive. And it's always, like, lonely men that can't get attention and can't get laid. So I said, you know what you do before you send them to jail? You dress them as drag queen. In prison, they're going to get plenty of attention, and they're going to get laid. Problem solved.
You know, the thing about it, though, is that you know, sometimes you want to do a bit, and you want to be profound with it, you know, and get your punch.
All of them.
Every comic does. And sometimes you have to dumb it down. And the argument is, it's a room full of drunks, you know.
You
try to, you know. But you want to be, well, then you be profound. You're not going to get the laugh. Sometimes you got to. And I'm not saying about you, Dad. I mean, we're all guilty of it. You want to be profound and get your punch. But. You know, and it's like a fucking room full of drunks.
But you know what's weird? You know what's weird? You'll see these comics that have specials, and they'll be profound and not funny. So then you think to yourself, maybe I shouldn't be playing to the fucking drunks. Because I do have interesting things to say and interesting takes, and I am unique, and that I could put them together. So maybe it's not the worst thing that these room of drunks.
But, you know, to tell you, and the thing about it, I mean, Carlin, who's late 80s, early 90s, was very profound, but it wasn't. There was no punchlines there, you know. And I am a disciple of this man. I'm watching. I'm like, where are we going here? Where's the punch? You know?
Well, and think about how dumber we are now as a society. I mean, Carlin was talking about it then. We're just getting stupider, kids, and we're getting stupider a lot of times on purpose, whether it be the technology. The decreased attention span, news outlets wanting us to be dumb, politicians wanting us to be dumb. There's a reason. So
we're getting our entertainment 37 seconds at a time.
Right.
You know, and that's all you got is 37 seconds. And, you know, that's why a lot of these guys that are hacks or whatever, you know, are not comics. They get up there, they do something silly, and it gets all these hits. And then they get all these following, and now they got to go to the club because the club, you know, offered them money. And now, you know, they're mildly entertaining. The only good thing is that the seasoned acts will go up before them.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to more of that in the Tom Brady discussion. But it is kind of interesting that you said, and then we'll take a break, 37 seconds at a time. And you're right. And it makes me think that we're not long for stand-up comedy, at least not as we know it, because you're asking people to pay attention 10, 15, 30, 45, hour and a half minutes to just sit and listen to spoken words without pictures and everything. This might be the last hurrah of stand-up comedy. It's not an unreasonable thought, and I never thought about it until Joe just said it the way he said it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you see all these internet acts coming into the clubs. You know, and who's this? Oh, he's very popular. Then you go to work the gig. And the place is a fucking mob scene. I never saw this guy before. He's okay. And it's like, why does this place, why can't we get a seat? We have to sit in the office. Oh, well, he's got a big YouTube following, you know? and they pull it off. That's the way we're going, boys and girls. You know, that's why I really want to start doing Dick Eldorado on my free time. You know, because, you know, I got a full club. You know, people might see Dick Eldorado. They ain't coming to see me, you know. So, and I can get as silly and hacky as I want.
Here's the thing about Dick Eldorado. Let's say it's fucking genius. I don't know what you're going to do with it. Let's say it's really funny. The chances are, for somebody of our age, and I will lump us together in this for this point, of going viral and doing something, it's just so minute. We don't have the type of social media following to even build off of. We're just not good at it.
But as if you're a character and a goofy character, you might buy it. Is Joe Curry? No, I'm not going to go to I'll go on TikTok, but not as me because people could care less. If I could do something as silly as Dick Eldorado and it gets viral, you know, who knows? But it's worth the shot because you see, you know, all these guys from the internet. You know, that are packing the clubs.
They're also young and pretty.
Huh?
They're young and pretty.
No, not necessarily.
The ones that are packing the clubs are, yeah. You see the people going viral on
as comics, but maybe but they're not a character. I could do the character.
No, I mean the guy who did the character on YouTube, Anthony Rodia. Did that, but he had like all sorts of special effects, and now he's very popular and sells out places.
He's an acquaintance, and he fills the clubs. He fills Uncle Vinny's. He fills Governors. You know, just by doing that act. You know, and enough with all the Italian acts too. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we get it. We got Vic. I love, you know, Anthony will give him a pass. But everybody and their uncle is coming out. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing Dick Italiano. I'm going to do a Dick Italiano.
What the hell is a Dick Italiano?
Yes. Huh?
What is Dick Italiano?
It's Dick Eldorado jumping on the Italian character.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, you say enough with the Italian accent. I mean, Sebastian Maniscalco's looking, going, hello, hello, I'm over here. I mean, listen, I mean, Sebastian Maniscalco, the Dane Cook for middle-aged white people. I mean, really, that's what he is. And it's even better if you're Italian. I mean, I watched this guy. Does he have great material? Not in my opinion. But he sure does mug nice, and he's easy on the eyes, I guess, to people of a certain age. You know what he is? He's one of these nostalgia acts. You know, that's what it is. There's so many.
You know what? But the audiences are like, you know, they're Italian, and they love that.
Yeah.
And he was, when he went to do, like, stadiums and stuff, the Garden and stuff like that, a lot of the club owners kind of got bummed out because the thing with him is you can get him three times a year. He's going to sell out. You'll have to add shows. He's a nice guy. He's funny. And there's no fucking bullshit. There's no issues with him.
Yeah.
He comes in. He does a great job. He's a very sweet man, you know. But so when he started to move away from that to do bigger things, a lot of the club owners are like, ah, shit, there's my three. I just lost three sellout weekends. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's take our first break. When we come back, Dilbert. Oh, fuck it. You know, Dilbert, such a popular comic. Dilbert. Or as I like to call him, an angrier, less funny Drew Carey show. Dilbert is, well, we'll talk about what happened with Dilbert. We'll continue this conversation a little bit because Tom Brady, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, might be coming to a comedy club near you. America's Congressman George Santos wants to have America's gun. And he wants it to be a gun that grabs headlines, just like he does. And we got a lot more. So, make sure you hang out with us. On the break, we have music from Gwenta K and Andy Z-Tone, featuring Paul Music with You're No Good, I Like You. And we have new music from Fresh Tracks with Shine. And you can learn more about both those.